I am just working on my bear graphic skills.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
It's working out okay.
Yeah.
Figured I'd just make a bear, an image of a bear playing guitar in front of a big pedal board.
Yeah.
Drew it out by hand, of course.
By hand, yeah, of course.
That's how.
Watercolor?
Watercolor, yeah.
Yeah.
Why has it got 7 fingers, Bri?
I like to think that my bears can play guitar a little bit better. And to do that, they need the 7 fingers.
I suspect shenanigans are afoot.
Are these GMO bears?
Grass-fed.
Bro. Oh, grass-fed.
Yeah.
Don't bears need like protein and berries and stuff?
Nope, vegetarian bears.
Those are the vegan bears.
Vegan bears.
Mm-hmm.
Best kind.
Plant-based berries. I don't know why I said berries. It's because I went wrong. I just went wrong. I'm just wrong.
No, it's fine. I like it. You guys, I have to tell you something that I could have probably told you before we started, but I didn't. I'm in a weird place right now where...
Portland.
Yes, that, of course. And I've slept not great last night your mind just is going a million miles an hour for no reason.
Like and, Yoda talk backwards, does he?
Ah, yes, exactly. So, but for some reason, I'm like, I've got all this energy and I feel like it's false energy. I've not yet had any caffeine, but I'm like, I feel rather perky, but I might actually just be losing my mind. So we'll see how this episode
goes. What does this mean, not had any caffeine yet?
Means I have not had any caffeine in the last 20 hours or so.
That's just crazy. That makes no sense. That's,
I got some no-dos right here. Does that count? Should I just chew on this during the podcast?
No-dos?
Mm-hmm.
The flipping jeepers is no-dos.
It's just caffeine.
It's just
pure caffeine in a pill.
Yeah. Oh, it's just 200 milligrams, though. It's not any much more than a cup of coffee.
Okay. I was going to ask, how many milligrams in the average cup of Joe?
Yeah, around 200-ish.
Okay.
Blake likes to put his no-dose pills into his coffee.
That's why I said I haven't had any caffeine in 20 hours because I had 5,000 milligrams when I didn't know. I don't do that much caffeine. I use it sparingly.
Have you done the 5-hour energy things? Do you guys have those over there, Richard?
A what now?
That's a 5-hour energy?
Little bitty bottle. I don't know what unit of measurement. It's very small.
It's tiny.
And it's just like a shot of pure vitamin B and caffeine.
But it's not like a full shot. It's not like a shot of whiskey. It's even smaller than that. I'm not sure exactly what the milliliters is.
It's like a half a swallow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether we do. We may do.
Liquid cocaine. It's kind of what it's like. But legal.
I'm pretty sure that liquid cocaine is illegal in my country. If not... Yeah. I would give up the coffee straight away. Yeah, a cup of cocaine, darling. Yeah. Is it urban myth that it used to be in Coca-Cola, or is it true?
I've looked this up a couple times, and, I didn't live back then. I know you guys were close.
Sure? You know you did.
Yeah.
I've seen a photo.
Jolly old kid, where's my cocaine?
I say, old chap.
I need my morphine and cocaine. It cures what ails you. it seems to be true. Seems to be an accurate thing. It was like a weird thing where it was started by a ex-Confederate general who had stomach issues, and he's like, I know the solution for my ailments.
It seems like whenever I chew on this plant, I suddenly feel like I have more energy.
Don't quote me on that, but it's something to that effect.
Interesting. I am not aware of the provenance of this story, but obviously I'm aware of it. Drugs are bad, kids. What's been going on, gentlemen?
Man. It's been a little bit hard to say. I got a concert I'm going to tonight. We'll see how that goes.
What concert is that?
Going to see the Bouncing Souls. Have you ever heard of them?
I'm going to say no, Blake.
I've heard of the Collective Souls. Does that count?
No.
Is
Same, that is not different the
band?
Same.
Okay.
Different band. Different band. Bouncing Souls, a punk band from New Jersey, and they've been around a long time, and they are just a very, very fun live band, and their guitarist has the coolest looking Les Paul ever.
I'm going to debate that later. Say, trust me.
I was going to say.
No, you're not,
I think
Richard,
we have some Les Paul content coming up.
We've got some Les Paul content.
You're not going to debate the coolness of this Les Paul because it's the same color scheme as the one you're going to talk about. The white and faded kind of down, you know, the things that I like. But this one, if you look up Pete Bouncing Souls Les Paul, you will see the most thrashed white Les Paul custom you've probably ever seen. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with the Bouncing Souls. There is a joke in there somewhere, but it's too early in the evening to make it. So I shall not.
It's a reference to Doc Martens, if you must know.
Which do have the Airwear sole, mm-hmm. which you can get holes in, and it's really annoying when you do because...
True.
And then wear out. I used to wear my Doc Martens to school. That was the thing back in the 90s.
I think that's come full circle. I think
But we were in uniform, like going in jeans and Doc Martens and a plaid shirt is, you know, probably de rigueur for 10% of school children in your part of the world. Whereas when I went to school, everyone had to wear uniforms, ties, blazers, shirts.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Why would you do that on purpose?
Well, trust me, all the children didn't want to do that on purpose. We had our own various rebellious ways of modifying the uniform. Dr. Martin boots. That reminds me of a song by Alexis Sayle. Yeah. There we go. Airwear, Bri. Have you ever owned Dr. Martin boots, Bri?
Back in the 90s, whenever I was a ute, they say.
Wow. The idea of Bri in a set of 12-hole cherry red DMs is quite the vision now.
Well, I was in a grunge band or whatever you wanted to call it back then. And that was part of the get up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I went the next level. I was wearing secondhand Danish paratrooper boots. They were grunge level 10, essentially. Yeah.
Anything you can source from a military surplus store, that's going to be the next level of grunge.
Yeah,
for sure.
That is pure grunge.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the stuff that I pulled out of my sink earlier today. Anyhow, do you know what the worst injury you can ever have as a guitar player is? Well, other than severed arm, severed head,
I was going to say, there's a lot of things. Yeah,
that I mean, tendonitis is
the most annoying, the most annoying injury possible to a guitar player.
A sprained index finger.
Close. It is when the nail that you have been cultivating for literally 3 months splits and you have to take it apart and now you can't pick the guitar again. But you don't realize...
Why were you cultivating a fingernail?
My thumbnail.
Remember, we were talking about cocaine earlier. That's right. Probably for that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like to grow my thumbnail for picking the guitar, Bri.
You use your nail to actually pick it?
Yeah.
Are you Britt Mason or something? He uses fake nails. A lot of natural guys use fake nails.
So the debate would go. I'm not quite ready to announced to my wife that I wish to glue a fake nail on. But I was really gutted. I thought I'd be all right because I kind of cut it at an angle so there was still a pick. And I went to play some Led Zeppelin song. And essentially, I started to play and the music was silent. I was like, what's going on here? Because normally, you've got like a little pad of flesh under your thumb because you pick with that, right? But yeah. I haven't used that for 3 months because I've had the nail. So it softened. So when I started to finger pick, instead of hearing the beautiful, crisp notes I was expecting, I basically heard somebody playing through a boxing glove on my guitar. And it was very quiet, and I nearly cried.
Well, that is unfortunate, Richard. The good thing about this, though, is it will grow back.
I would just... go out there and get some fake nails on one hand, like the rest of us do.
Hmm.
That's what the rest of us?
Yeah.
What?
Right, yeah, I mean, you like your finger picking, bro. What technique do you use? Are you still using like clip-on picks, or are you just using the pads of your fingers and thumbs?
More often than not, I use a regular flat pick, and I just tuck it back in my palm when I need a finger pick.
So what but are you picking with? Your actual fingers?
The actual fingers,
soft, usually. Soft, fleshy bits.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll, hybrid picking whenever you use your, sometimes I'll do that. It really depends on what I'm playing, like what type of lick. There's some stuff I'm like, all right, I got to dig out the actual thumb pick for this one.
And do you get the thumb pick and then all of the little finger picks, though, like a banjo player?
No, I don't use those. No.
Like a sort of Freddy Krueger glove, but for playing guitar.
A lot of steel players do. They'll use the thumb pick and the metal pick for your fingers.
It adds an interesting kind of attack to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's a nice, I like that sound. I also have just a regular metal pick that is kind of does the same thing if you're more of a gorilla like me and just don't articulate notes and just hit your guitar with metal. And
just a metal like plectrum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not going to help you when you're trying to do finger picking, though, is it?
One actually kind of does because it's thin,
but
really stiff. And so I can tuck it like Brian's talking about. And I don't drop it as easy because it kind of digs into the grooves in your finger.
Like using your thumb, not unless your thumb is magnetic, in which case you've got other problems that you should see a doctor for. And your guitar tone is going to be wild.
I forgot to tell you, I accidentally wiped all my hard drives. All I was doing was carrying it. I don't know what the deal is.
And that's what he told the law officer.
Oh, geez.
So how long does it take to grow back a broken nail, and what should I be eating and drinking in order to move its growth forward? I'm not taking those caffeine pills. That won't help.
Yeah, sure it will. Accelerates everything.
If only there was something we could ask.
Powdered rhino horn? No, you're banned from asking any search engines or artificial intelligence-based machines, Bri.
I'm going to make an AI clone of myself this week, fellas, and just let it do the podcast from here on out. See if anyone notices.
Okay, install him now. Well, hello, Brian 2.0. How are you doing?
I am pleased to help you out today, Blake. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just curious if you've done any breadboarding on any new projects lately.
I do not use breadboarding because I do not eat bread. I only eat peanut butter.
Oh, peanut butter and yogurt. Okay, that's an interesting thing for a machine to consume.
By trying to avoid talking about flipping AI, we have ended up acting out what would happen if Brian was made out of AI. We can't get rid of it. Oh, I do apologize, listeners. He's obsessed with it. I mean, that was pretty accurate.
It would be fun, though. It would be fun just to do one episode and see how screwed up it gets.
Oh, it'd be so bad.
Because that's
kind
of how it answers, like, I do not breadboard because I don't eat bread. Like, that's too hard to say, you dork.
So I was just messing around. I hadn't messed around with ChatGPT in months and months. I don't even know. And I was just playing around with it just to see where it was at. And I asked it to write me a 700 word thing in the style of this author, which I've done before. And it first told me, I cannot emulate or replicate any particular author's style. And I was like, what? You've definitely done that before. So I asked it. Like,
I think all the famous authors complained. I think that
No, this is where it gets
Stephen
weirder.
Stephen King was like, no, please stop letting your software write my books for me.
Well, so I would understand that, except when I said, you've done this for me before. How come you can no longer simulate a particular author's style? And it said, I mean, I can go back and look in the notes. It said, oh, I can definitely simulate a particular author's style. Who would you like me to simulate? And
then it broke through the security.
Then it just proceeded to do it like it used to. I was so confused. It was really weird.
There were some tests recently that I watched on the TikTok. Said if you treat your ChatGPT or your chatbot nice, that the results come out better.
I can't help it. I can't be demanding of it. I'm always like, thank you.
It's very hard for me not to say, please do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, why am I saying please?
All right, you guys are just completely screwed up in the head.
Hey, one of these days, it will remember who was nice and who wasn't.
I'm just going to let you know that a certain conspiracy theorist who may or may not have been in the press recently for being a terrible human being put out a video the other day saying, should AI have rights? No, it shouldn't have rights. It should have an on-off button, and that should be big and red and bold.
I like that. Yeah, I'm down. But I'm still going to be nice to it, because I can't ask anybody for anything without saying please.
Well, that's just because you're super polite.
Sometimes.
Which is interesting, because it's the exact opposite of Brian, who just fires off random where is this emails all hours of the day, and I swear that actually is AI.
I make sure that your phone says, you know, that you're on do not disturb. I make sure.
Yeah.
And then I hit notify anyway. Notify anyway.
Notify anyway.
It's kind of true. I'm laughing, but it is kind of true. So I had a very interesting weekend. I went to a masterclass held by Mr. Andy Wood in the UK.
I've been waiting to hear about this.
And I haven't ever actually... His classes are actually,
so good. He is so good at what he does, man. Like, he's just
so
great.
So good.
Not a great player, but a great teacher. You know,
like a really good teacher. Yeah. He's like, he listens and has a perspective. And that's what you want from a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want someone to just go, I've been trained this. I'm going to just repeat it verbatim. You want someone who can look at what you're doing. So it was a relatively small masterclass. It was less than a dozen people there, I think. And it was, there's the weirdest coincidence around it, which I will go into shortly. But I turned up and he was up the front sort of playing some guitar and teaching people, and that was cool. And I watched the masterclass, and then he was like, Richard, why don't you come up and let's talk to the guys about tone and pedals? And of course, I had no preparation for this whatsoever.
What are you talking about? You've been doing this podcast for how many years now? You got preparation. Well, come on.
I mean, I got up there. I was probably a little nervous at first because I was like, these guys are going to be like, tell me about the topology of this pedal. Tell me of the architecture of this pedal. But luckily, that wasn't the case. It was quite refreshing to be among... And these guys could all play guitar, by the way. There wasn't any of them that couldn't play guitar. But none of them knew very much about pedals. I mean, a couple of them probably did, but most of them were very, like, we don't even really know where to begin with pedals. So me and Andy took them through his board and all the different sounds they got out of his board. I think we might have sold a few gearboxes, Bri, and probably nice. A few pounds.
Andy's pretty good at that. Yeah, whatever you give him to play, everyone's like, how do I sound like that?
Yeah. Honestly, how do I sound like you, Andy?
There was a very big element of that. Yeah. he previewed his new album. We didn't preview all of it. Clearly, it would have taken a long time, but it sounds amazing, and that's going to come out fairly soon. So that's really, really cool. But yeah, somebody brought along a rather special Les Paul and was like, guess what this is? So they opened up, and it was, as you said earlier, Blake, a sort of, well, I guess once it was white, but it's gone a lovely cream colour, a 1979 Les Paul. And I posted on the Wampler Instagram earlier a reel of Andy just kind of shredding on it, and it hadn't even been set up. It'd been in a container for years. But it belongs to Cozy Powell, who bought it from John Sykes of Thin Lizzy.
Wow.
I don't know whether you're aware of that band.
Oh, yeah.
I think he also played with Whitesnake as well, Bri. I'm not entirely sure. But here's the thing.
Yeah, he did play with Whitesnake. I was trying to look up who did he play with as well. But
it was literally the heaviest guitar I've ever played, picked up, held. Just like 12 pounds, 15 pounds, something like that.
It was interesting.
Heavy.
Do you need two guitar straps for the thing?
You needed, I mean, I think in the pictures he's wearing like a kind of metal chain strap to keep it.
One of those big belts you put around your organs to protect you.
Like an old-fashioned wrestler's belt, yeah. Literally, that's what it needed. But Andy shredded on it, which the video shows. But that was a very cool piece of history. So that was cool. And like I said, yeah, I did a little talk and people seemed to dig it. I got some nice feedback.
Tell me about your talk here. Like, did you have like a slideshow?
I didn't need a slideshow, Bri, because as I think we've already established, I am England's new king of fuzz. So when Andy switched on his fuzz pedal and said, but I have to run it up front, I can't run it at the end of the chain, I was like, well, my dude, that's an impedance issue, you see, because of the topology of that particular fuzz circuit. And lo, the people did all worship my knowledge.
They all gasped and then clapped slowly.
Richard, teach me your ways. I worship at your feet, Sir Richard.
You may kiss the papal ring. Oh, wait, no, that's a different thing altogether.
So how does a reverb work digitally? And Richard said, have I told you about fuzz pedals?
That's right.
Let's just go back to that one single fuzz.
Let's talk about single stage boosts.
I mean, actually, one of the questions, Brian, which was really interesting, so there was this guy and he was playing some jazz guitar and he was gigging in bands and he was pretty good, you know, he was like practicing. I was like, yeah, you can play. And he was like, so I've just got back into guitars. Let's say I want to buy a pedal board for $500, £500. Can I get all of the sounds that Andy has? And I said, well, look, yes, you can. You clearly can't have all of those pedals because he's got thousands of pounds, including he's got the gig rig, I think the G3 switcher or whatever right. It is on there.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Which itself is probably more than the entire budget. But I said, you know, you can buy a switching unit relatively cheaply. And I said, I've got two words to say to anybody that asks about, you know, cheap pedals, and they are Boss and Moore. Both of those companies make incredibly good pedals for the money. You basically can't go wrong with Boss pedals if, you know, you pick the right ones. If you picked three metal zones, you might have a slight issue.
A good time.
And the same with Moore. And then I explained to them, I said, look, you know, with reverb and delay, these are generally, not always, but generally digital effects anyway these days. So actually, the differences are there, but they're not as great as you might think. So for starting out, just go and buy, you know, like a Boss DD2 and a DS1. But the advice I gave them was equalizers, because Andy uses his equalizer a huge amount.
Yeah.
And it's something you've spoken about before. If you've got one good overdrive or distortion pedal and an equalizer pedal, you've suddenly got several good overdrive and distortion pedals, because you can do a huge amount with an equalizer and the right pedal. So I think they dug that kind of, you don't have to spend this. And then I was like, but if you did want to spend it, the metaverse from Wampler will cover all of your delay needs, the Terraform all of your modulation needs, and Pantheon and Gearbox. So,
I don't want to be like speaking too much out of school, but for the sake of the podcast, you know, there is going to be a big difference, at least as far as I'm aware, unless things have changed, you know, between what you're going to get from Boss and Moore from a durability perspective. Moore does make some really cool stuff for relatively cheap, but as we've talked about like a lot, sometimes what you're paying for is, you know, the service you're going to get afterward. Like,
right.
Is that pedal going to last you forever? Probably not. The Boss probably will. So if you're going budget, you know, and then that's the thing. Boss has some very expensive pedals now, but generally speaking, they're so ubiquitous.
Yeah, you know, like I'm not saying go out and buy, you know, the new Space Echo and the multi-mod or anything. But, you know, if I was starting out with a pedal board, I think Boss is a really good place to look, because a lot of big players still swear by their Boss. And, you know, those little digital delay units,
I love DD2s and DD3. Yeah, they sound great.
Great way to get into delay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think they enjoyed the fact that, you know, whilst I was selling to them, I wasn't selling to them at the same time. We did also show them the the new Aquatone from Electric Love. Let me just say, Andy did not want to let go of that pedal, Bri.
It's a pretty good circuit, isn't it?
It's a pretty amazing circuit.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And, you know, I hate to confess this, but it was the first time I'd switched it on, and it's got a freaking pink LED in it, Bri.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is a thing of beauty, and we are going to have a pink LED on something. But it's cool. A great circuit, Bri.
Yep. Yeah,
nice tweaks, and Andy shredded it. He may have also shredded through some other pedals, but that's for another time.
I have a quick question, Richard, about the Les Paul, going back to that, because as you know, I'm a Les Paul fanboy, and I also have a Les Paul from that era. I noticed that the bridge pickup is at least uncovered, if not correct, switched out. Did he talk about that at all? What was going on there?
No, I mean, again, it's come secondhand, so auctioned off a guy who got it from a guy who got it from Cozy Power. But I think it has got a... I think he did say it had a Seymour Duncan pickup or something in it, because I think there was some documentation. But honestly, I was too busy laughing at the weight and checking out the finish, because it looked beautifully aged, to listen to any of the technicals. But you're right, there is something funky going on. One of the pickups definitely doesn't have the cover. And if you look at the pic, there's a famous picture of Phil Liner and John Sykes with it. You can see it's the same guitar, same pickup missing, same color of bobbins, all of that stuff. Bobbins is a great word, by the way.
It is. It's a great word.
I love the word bobbins. So that was pretty cool. And then I got to jam with Andy, which was the funniest jam ever, because there was a drum kit there. So I was like, oh, I'll just play some drums. But I sat on a stool. Well, it's a compact stool. Let's put it that way. I am not a compact man. And even when I did it up, as I was playing, I kept sinking down to the extreme bottom. So I ended up playing with the snare drum at eye level. And I dropped a few beats. I'm not going to lie, I'm very out of practice. I hadn't played for 6 months, but it was a lot of fun. So to say that I had a jam with Andy Wood makes me very, very happy. I then took him out and we ate the finest Indian food known to man, Blake. I took him to Windsor and oh my God. But there is a really bizarre little bit of synchronicity about this whole event. So I turn up to Guitar Vivo HQ, because I guess that's where the business is based. And just want to say shout out to Luke, who set that up, Luke Lewis, who's also an amazing player. And I chat to the guy who owns this lovely house in the middle of the home counties. And I chat to the guy who owns the property. And I'm like, oh, I grew up not a million miles away from here in a small town called Amersham. And he looks at me and goes, oh, my wife's from Amersham. I'm like, no way. I'm like, how old are you? He asked me how old I was. And I'm like, she may know. I was like, well, ask her if she knew the Iron Horse pub. So anyway, he disappeared and I didn't think anything of it. And he came back 10 minutes later and he said, we've just been looking at your Facebook and my wife knows all of your friends. I'm like, no way, get out of here. She's like, no. She said, she went to school with your mate Dave. Now, I've mentioned my mate Dave on the show before.
And the Iron Horse pub.
And the Iron Horse pub. Mm-hmm. And Dave is the guy that got me first into guitar gear properly. He used to work for Shadow Guitars and was a distributor for some of their other brands, including one of the greatest wah-wahs I've ever had, which was a Shala wah-wah, and you flicked the switch and it became a phase wah. So it was a yoy-yoy, and it would make kind of literally that noise, but it was really clever the way it did it. And because of Dave, I got into pedals, and because of pedals, I'm working with Brian and, doing pedal stuff. And because of that, I went to the house with somebody who went to school with Dave. I was like,
just give me an idea for an effect, dude.
Huh? Like,
give me 2 minutes. You just gave me an idea for an effect.
I've been telling you to make this effect for years.
No, not that exact thing. That led me down a different path. And I'm like, oh, no one's ever done that before. Anyways, continue on.
So, yeah, it's like the circle of guitar effects that brought me to that event. Isn't that kind of a cool story?
It's one of the weird things about this world. When you're starting out into guitars, you know, especially like once you've got your first year or so under your belt and you're really starting to kind of explore the instrument and listen to music a little differently and all that. Everybody's been, I'm sure everyone that's listened to this podcast has been through that phase. It seems so big. It seems like this massive place where, you know, there's Slash and Jimmy Page and Kurt Cobain and insert like guitar person here, just huge, huge, well-known people. And it seems like there's no way that I'll ever be in the circle of guitar, like professional guitar players. And then it turns out if you just kind of stick around for a really long time, eventually you're going to have some very cool experiences.
Right.
Because it's not like, that big. It's not that, it's really not.
Eventually people are like, hey, you with the podcast thingy, when can I come on it?
Yeah, right. You're like, what?
Huh? You're like, my podcast?
Okay, sure.
I had the same sort of experience last week. I was working on a course for a client that does like metal courses. That's all they specialize in. And it was a Dave Ellefson course. And I was like, I was 13. I walked into my local record shop and I bought like Megadeth's Peace Sells But Who's Buying on 12-inch. I still have that record. And I never in a million years would have thought back then that I'll actually be kind of adjacent to the guy who made the sickest bass riffs on that record.
Oh, know, man.
And working on a course for him. But I was. So, yeah, and it's cool. And like I say, I went out to Windsor with Andy and his better half, Chelsea. We bought the most amazing Indian food. We couldn't eat it all. They insisted I took it home in cartons, which I did, but... Andy, well, they both were just the nicest people. Like, the company was far greater than the meal, and it was one of the greatest Indian meals I've ever had. So possibly one of the best days of my life ever, Brian. Possibly.
I don't doubt it.
Look at that. Good times.
That's one of the reasons I always go to the Woodshed thing, man, because it's just good people and good hangs.
I think I've got to come next year, Brian.
You need to. You would love. If you liked yesterday or... 2 days ago, whenever that was,
yeah,
you would love the Woodshed event. You would love it.
Yeah.
He said
lots of lovely things about you as well, Bri. I tried to poison his mind against you, but I guess, you know, the good side just won over in the end.
When you pay people, it's amazing the nice things they say about
you. I was going to say, by poison, do you mean tell the truth? Is that what you
If I told the truth, then everything would be over. No,
it's,
so that was pretty
it's
cool.
A strange coincidence, though, that there must be something in the air that is just like telling us for some reason to like Andy Wood. Because I was just talking to, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, so I won't go too heavy into it. But I was talking to my dad this weekend and reminding him about the time there's a small little bar here in Portland called the Ponderosa Lounge. And back in the 90s and 2000s. Do you? Yeah. Nice. It's tiny. It's literally part of a truck stop. It's a tiny little bar. Mm-hmm. And back in the 90s and 2000s, when big acts would come through and play like the Rose Garden, the stadium, they would go to the Ponderosa sometimes and play after the show. So my parents knew this. And so they'd go there once in a while. And they caught one time Brooks and Dunn playing the Ponderosa, a tiny little dive bar. And all with them was Rascal Flatts. And I remember my dad telling me back in the day, dude, the guitar player with Rascal Flatts just shredded. Like, he's insanely good. And I'm like, all these years later, I'm like, Dad, I think that was Andy Wood. Yeah. I know Andy Wood. Like,
yeah.
So I blasted him a message, not realizing he was in the UK at the time. Like this is a random question.
Did you ever play the Ponderosa?
You ever play the Ponderosa Lounge
like,
in the early 2000s?
Ponderosa Lounge? One in every state.
I visit the Ponderosa regularly, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just weird because I was showing Dad pictures like, is this him? He's like, I think so. It's 20 years ago.
Here's the thing, and I'm not going to, you know, say anything to embarrass him too much. A lot of very, very top-end guitarists rate Andy Wood because he is himself an absolute top-end guitarist. If you're not familiar with his work, go check out Junktown. Definitely get his new album and check out some of the stuff he's done with the Flatts.
He's got a great Patreon, too. Like, if you're into, like, guitar lessons and learning everything, having someone that you can, like, completely pick their brain on how to be a better player, his Patreon is...
And it's holistic.
One of the best.
The tips he was giving the guys there, some of whom were patrons, weren't like, oh, well, you need to play, you know, G Mixolydian followed by Y Lydian and Z sharp Phrygian.
He breaks it down into like everyday language.
It was like,
he's like, you're already on the G.
Play more like this, my dude.
Why not go up to here? You know?
Exactly. And that resonates with guitar players because we're so, like, I'm not even going to lie. I had a guitar lesson coincidentally the week I was going, and I just said to my guitar teacher, I said, there is a chance that I'm going to get in a jam with probably one of the greatest guitarists I know. Help me not be really embarrassing and just like revert to those three riffs that I normally would revert to. And we did some cool things. In the end, I didn't actually, I played about 10 notes on a guitar, so I was fine. But yeah, no, he is a killer player. And I said to him, and I thought of it on the way up there, there's only two currently instrumental guitar players whose albums I'd listen to over and over, and that's Andy Wood's Junktown, but also John Five. I put him in the same kind of category as John Five, and I know there's a sort of crossover with the bluegrass shred, but that's my jam at the moment. Those are both fine instrumental players right there.
Nice.
I've never worked with John Five. I always wanted to.
Put it out there in the world. John. Hey, John. Come over here. Yeah, you. John.
You ever think about, you know, using a guitar
dirt pedals? Yeah. You think about, what do you think about
dirt pedals? I know a feller that works with him. You know?
Mm.
Just saying.
Just saying. I know a guy who knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
But the another interesting kind of tangent from this is, I was reminded of my mate Dave working for Shadow Guitars. I was like, well, I wonder if I'll look it up and see what they're up to. And they are still around making kind of weird guitar electrics. I assume it's the same company. It may not be. One of the things they make is pickup ring tuners for humbuckers. So, you know, the plastic pickup ring that a humbucker gets mounted in on a Les Paul, it's got a tiny, teeny little tuner down the side of it, Bri. Now,
like, so you power it with like a watch battery, or what are you powering it with?
I didn't look at the science of the thing, Bri. I just saw the flashing lights and wanted it.
I'm thinking how this would work in my brain, because I'm thinking if you use a watch battery, yeah, that'd be pretty easy to do.
Could easily be done with a watch battery, right? I mean, you can get very small, very powerful.
There's the Shadow humbucker. It is a watch battery, indeed. That's what it is.
Now, it is possibly over-engineered, and it's possibly in the realm of robot tuners, but I dug the idea.
I think this is clever.
It's like a headstock tuner. I'm imagining it's like a headstock tuner, but it's on your pickup.
Yeah, so you basically just look down at the edge of your pickup, and there's a little ring, there's a little strip of LEDs there.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I like that way better than having this goofy-looking thing on the end of your headstock.
Well, and then it's just on all the time.
Right.
The only downside versus a tuner pedal is I doubt there's a way to mute that. But you couldn't do that. I was gonna say, maybe on this you can. Some more investigation must be done. I was gonna say, maybe you could roll your volume off and it literally just does it off the vibrations. Maybe it's just like a little piezo. In which case that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it could.
I don't know. Mm. I shall have to. This was a fast Google for me.
So if you were me and you had like a mute button on your switcher, then it works because you're still sending your signal all the way down. So, I think it's a cool idea anyway.
Yeah. The only downside to that sort of thing is it's not as accurate as like a pedal strobe tuner.
Not unless it was really big. That would defeat the object. You turn up like, you thought that John Sykes Les Paul was heavy. Introducing the Tunamatic from Wampler.
Like having a big tape delay mounted to your guitar. Like, this only added 20 pounds. We're good.
It's got a, it does also have a little button on it to turn it on and off. So it's not always on.
Good, because that annoys me when I'm playing a song and my tuner's on and it's like C and a third, G and 1.76.
And it says it won't affect the tone of your guitar, so I'm imagining its pickup is built into itself. So maybe you can just roll your volume down. And
It's got to be just based on the physical vibration properties.
Yeah, it has to be. But like a headstock tuner.
For a retrofit option,
it's cool.
That's a cool idea. And that then makes me think, why aren't more guitar builders like giving built-in tuners in their guitars that aren't robotic? But like, you could have a nice little LED strip in the horn of your guitar.
Acoustics do that, don't they?
Acoustics do that, Bri, depending on the electrics, but it's much more common because it's just one.
You already have electrics in there, electronics.
Exactly.
So, new product idea number 345.
Let's go ahead and jot this one down.
I do have to make potentially.
By the way, go ahead and send that invoice to Shadow Guitars. Yeah, we could probably use the money.
I got you, fam. Potentially an invoice to the Big F to Fender. To the Big F to Fender, because I have heard that that Tonemaster Pro may not be a plastic chassis after all.
I've heard that rumor as well.
Yep. Could be made out of unobtainium metal.
I'm sure you guys heard it from the same source I did, which was Mr. Jim.
Agent Carter.
Yeah, Agent. Yes, Agent Carter.
We shall refer to him as just Agent Carter.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself because I've never played one. Everything we talked about on that episode was pure speculation.
Yes, we have never played one. Please send us one, Fender. Mm-hmm. That does remind me.
Yes,
I have to. This I shall save. I shall save for Patreon. Andy Wood did explain the reasoning behind the orange on orange. And I can no longer get angry because his reasoning is very sound.
Really? I would love to hear it because I absolutely despise that.
Well,
I'm not a fan of it.
You'll find out what the reason was.
I got outvoted on that.
You did get outvoted.
I did.
I didn't even have a vote.
I can tell you, originally, the design I submitted, it was blue, not orange. It was gray and blue I wanted. Yeah, it was a light gray and a light blue. But Andy was not happy with the blue. I will explain all later. But also, it's five controls. Anyone can remember the positions of five controls, especially when three of them are a tone stack.
I can't even remember the position of five fingers.
You should try AI. It will add a few and move some around into unwieldy positions.
Why stop with five whenever you can have eight? You
know? That's true.
Otherwise known as the Martinsville glove.
Richard, that's something else. We can't talk about that in good company. That's a different thing. Yeah.
Oh, hey, I got a picture from you, Bri, and I never actually pulled you up on it. I believe your good lady wife sent it to you. It appeared to be tractors racing, and they had been jacked up about 3 foot in the air.
Yes. Oh,
could you explain this to a layman?
Well, once a year, we have a parade that comes into town that, like, basically the entire small town here live for. It's called the Fall Foliage Festival. And that's when all types of folks come out from the woods and decide that they're going to show off their new wares. It sounds a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular situation, there were some people that were showing off their new lawnmower that they jacked up and put mud tires on.
Come on, bub. Let's go trim some grass.
It's a lot like that. Yep, mm-hmm. yep. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were seeing is some locals here who decided to take their normal lawnmower that worked just fine, rip all the lawn mowing parts out of it, and jack it up like a four-wheel drive truck.
And you didn't send this to the Chasing Tone group chat because thought this was not relevant to my interests? Because
worried it was you on the tractor. The guy looked just like you. Well, like, has anyone seen Blake in the last 24 hours? Because if not,
He's working on his tractor.
Hold on, I gotta modify my John Deere. I gotta get up on it. This is why we're gonna go to the Fall Foliage Festival, and I'm gonna impress Deborah this time.
Did you like the UFO video I sent you here in Indianapolis? Yeah, we had some UFOs recently.
We do need to talk about the UFOs. I want to just hit you with two things very, very briefly first, Bri. Because I have been getting a lot of really positive feedback again about the DIY stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on something DIY related and I need a bit of help.
Me too. How'd you mention that?
Okay, well, no, let me help you because as we have established, I am England's new King of Fuzz. But
you are. We have the King apparently. Of Tone in America, we have the King of Fuzz in England.
Well, if I'm going to take on the King of Tone, I shall have to adopt a very grumpy persona. That's my next move.
Mike doesn't like me. I don't know why. I like Mike, but Mike doesn't like me. That's fine.
Well, I'm right with you that. Know, he's only human. no, Bri, I've got this little op-amp boost circuit that I built, but I built it by looking at somebody else's breadboard diagram and going, yeah, I can copy that and I can do the soldering. So it's more practical.
It's hard to copy a breadboard diagram. It's easy to get it wrong.
Right, so now I want to turn a strip board diagram, into a breadboard, right?
Okay.
Now, of course, that should be pretty simple, but it's not quite that simple because
we're using
cuts and jumps.
Yeah, I think it's easier just look at a schematic, personally.
100%, I was sitting there going, I think it would be much easier if I had the schematic, but I don't. So my question is, when you start tracing a circuit from, you know, an actual picture of the circuit layout, where do you start? Do you start by tracing back from the power or do you trace back from the input?
I follow the signal.
So you follow where the signal goes and where it comes out.
On a breadboard, if it's an analog circuit, all the grounds are tied together. All the power stuff is tied together. If it's half voltage, that's all tied together. And so I'm just following the signal out. Yeah. Yep. Just like going, okay, we have a 1K resistor. Then that goes through a capacitor. Then that goes into the input of the op amp. So then we have the op amp. And then, you know, the in and out pins of the op amp have diodes in them. So let's do that. I'm just literally following through the signal flow.
But then are you basically then redrawing it as a schematic?
No, the schematic stays the same. That never changes.
No, but what I mean is you haven't got a schematic. You've got somebody else's strip board layout. So you want to translate that to a breadboard. Now, strictly speaking, you can just lift and shift the parts. But as I said, we've got cuts and we've got jumpers to worry about.
So here's the thing. If I'm looking at a strip board diagram, and this happens a lot on DIY groups, where someone will post that and say, I don't have any sound. The first thing I say is, upload a schematic, not a strip board diagram. I need a schematic.
And so that's what I'm really saying to you. And if they don't,
then I'm taking that strip board diagram and I have to make it into a schematic myself. That strip board diagram doesn't tell me that much.
Really? You're telling me I need to turn this into a schematic.
It's much easier into a schematic, yes.
So I think that's my next stage, is turning a simple strip board diagram into a schematic and then building it on a breadboard, and then rebuilding it on the strip board. But the understanding process is what's filling me with fear at the moment. Because I'm like, okay, really? Look, I'm not going to break any. Just a bit, because I'm like, what if I plug this in wrong and it doesn't work? It's going to do my head in. And if it does my head in, then I'll have to ring Brian. Brian will shout at me. When Brian shouts at me, I cry. If I cry, then we have a bad 24 hours. So I don't want to go down that route.
Interesting. This has been a good episode today for me.
By the way, if you ever harvest any of my ideas for any of your courses, I'm just going to let you know now, Bri.
I am on commission. I have post-it notes surrounding me right now.
I hereby announce to the copyright lawyers of the world that you heard it here first, that any of my ideas are my ideas, and if I don't get paid on them, then all I'm going to say is tractor tires are going to be burning.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's intense.
Bringing out the big guns. He's not messing around.
All right. My next subject I'll save for Patreon. And
yeah.
Now we may talk about your UFOs or Patreon your UFOs.
Yeah, let's get on Patreon and talk about this UFOs. Oh, by the way, we did find out a new thing today. That apparently, if you're not a Patreon member, you can listen to the first 5 minutes of the Patreon episodes.
Oh, right.
Right? And decide if you want to listen to the rest. Now, that will cost you a buck or two. But you get like a whole brand new podcast just from that. Anyways.
How can you argue with that?
I think our buddy Arnold is visiting us today and talking about our executive producers. So, I know, Blake, you had to pull some serious strings and, do some foot massages with some people that could get you in touch with Arnold.
Well,
and we made it happen, though.
It was Danny DeVito. Let's just be honest.
As Arnold often says, Bri, I will be returning. And also, to the helicopter.
I will return here
shortly. How dare you misquote me like this? Get to the chopper now.
I just want to give a big thank you to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Nighthorse, Dave Trombetti, Sam Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frost. Oh, my good friend Vidar. I will be back. Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Cunny Pick. Oh, I like to say that Calhoun, that's a fun one. Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Paddy F, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Uppercut, I give an uppercut in some of my films. Yes, you've probably seen it in Last Action Hero. Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Lambert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes. I know Rob Stokes. Stokes. I like to say Stokes. Jordan from Poison Noises. Mick Spaniel, the Twine Kings. Sasha Scher. Yeah, you know Sasha. Yes, we go way back. Jay Stratton. Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, Harry Post, The Studio Rats, Harvey Pedals, Alison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bonlaser. I've had one of those in a film too. Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, and Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast. All right, that's good. Get to the chopper now.
All right. Off to the Patreon we go. We'll see you. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.